You're listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skull in a pool of cerebrospinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. Today I present the third installment in my series,
Weird Tales from the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy.
An unforeseen side effect of opening a martial arts academy is that it seems that some people interpret this act as an invitation to come in and either irritate or freak you out with their bizarre ideas and questions about the martial arts and about life in general. We'll start today's episode in the early 1980s when a young fellow came into my academy to ask about classes. He had long blonde hair that was fashioned into dreadlocks. He wore a tie-dyed t-shirt and faded jeans and smelled vaguely of incense. Before I could begin discussing details of membership at my academy, he began his own monologue.
"You need to understand that I'm a very spiritual person," he pointed out to me. "It's absolutely vital that I learn to defend myself without doing one atom of harm to the poor individual who's attacking me. I want to learn to become one with the great mind of the universe through martial arts training. I want to learn to blend with my attacker and not defeat him, but show him that the power of love and positive energy is stronger than hatred and negative energy."
Now, I'm almost never speechless, as anyone who knows me can attest, but this guy did it. He pulled it off beautifully. I realized that he had stopped talking and that I was staring at him with my mouth open. I collected my wits and began to speak. Anyway, I offer a number of different memberships at my academy. He interrupted me with,
"I don't want to talk about money or anything materialistic. I just sense that you may be the one to lead me on my spiritual martial arts journey."
As it turns out, I wasn't. He signed a waiver, which I insisted upon despite his protests that
there is no need for legal paperwork between fellow spiritual travelers.
He took his free introductory class, but never returned after that. Now, of course, I must carry the ponderous burden of realizing that I didn't live up to the spiritual needs of my fellow traveler. The next quirky character for this episode was a good-natured fellow whose real name I will not use. I will call him What If Don. Why I call him What If Don will soon become apparent. As I said, Don was a nice enough gentleman, but let us say that he was not maximally gifted in the intellect department. He worked hard on the drills and techniques that I assigned, and never complained, despite the difficulties he seemed to have in grasping subtle nuances of technique and concept. And I learned a lot about teaching students like Don as I worked with him. But he had one particular quirk that qualifies him for this podcast. He had a knack for concocting elaborate, hypothetical self-defense scenarios and asking me how I would handle them. For example,
"Jeff, what if you was jumped by two guys, and one of them had a knife?"
The first time Don presented one of these scenarios, I tried, in clear and simple terms, to explain why, in my opinion, hypothetical questions like this are impossible to answer in a meaningful way. First of all, I don't have enough information. Is there an escape route? I'd prefer to run rather than fight, and it may be the case that one of the attackers is slower than the other, perhaps giving me a chance to fight the faster runner of the two first, before the slower one catches up. What other details of the environment can you give me? Is there open space, cramped quarters, or some mixture of the two? Is the surface asphalt, concrete, grass, dirt, carpeting? What are the relative positions of the opponents to me at the moment that I realize I'm in a fight? All of these factors and others could influence my reaction to such a situation. I also made sure to point out that the martial arts as depicted in movies creates the impression that if you're pretty good, you can fight multiple attackers with relative ease.
And of course, the truth is that multiple attackers will nearly always get the better of you unless they are hideously incompetent fighters who fail to coordinate with each other and you are at an outstanding level. I carefully explained all of this to Don, who nodded his head, deeply furrowed his brow as if thinking very hard, and stared off into space. I didn't think much more about it until he asked me several days later, "Jeff, what if you was attacked by three guys, one with nunchucks, one with a baseball bat, and one with a lead pipe?" I explained carefully and patiently to Don that he hadn't really changed the parameters of the situation enough for me to give a different answer. In other words, same shit, different day. Poor Don furrowed his brow again and stared thoughtfully once more into space. Guess what? Yep. Several days later, Don stopped me to ask, "Jeff, what if you was jumped by four guys, one who had a samurai sword, another with a chainsaw, and a third with a bow staff, and a fourth with a stick of dynamite?" Is the fuse lit on the dynamite? What? Never mind. Despite my patient and diligent efforts, I never was able to get Don to grasp the concept. The next candidate for Weird Tales was a family. The door opened to my academy one day and in trooped a woman wearing a plain, full-length dress, carrying two infants, followed through the door by seven more children, each incrementally older than the last. She had walked in with nine sons in tow. She explained that she homeschooled the boys and wanted martial arts lessons for the three oldest, aged 15, 16, and 17. She said to me, "I've checked out every school in town and I think I'm going to pick yours. I just know you're going to make a wonderful instructor for my boys. I can see the light of Jesus in your eyes." I smiled benignly. I didn't really know what to say. I'm not sure just exactly what she saw, but I suspect Jesus would beg to differ. At that time, I had a class schedule that ran through the day from 11 a.m. until 8 p.m., with a break for lunch. She dropped the three boys off each weekday morning at 11 and left them there all day until 8 p.m., every day. At first, I attempted to get the three boys outfitted in Academy t-shirts. I asked the oldest one what size shirt he wanted. He looked quizzically at me as if I had just asked a deeply philosophical question. He stared, deeply and thoughtfully, into space for a long time before answering, "I never thought about what size shirt I wear. Mama always dresses me. I guess it depends on the width of my shoulders." "Why, yes, at least in part it does." Frequently during their all-day stay at my academy, only one or two of the boys would actually take the class, while the other one or two would entertain themselves in my spectator seats or parking lot, sometimes by shooting cap pistols, 15 to 17 years old, mind you, sometimes by accosting passing homeless people and talking to them about the gospel, sometimes eating potato chips for lunch, or sometimes simply sitting and reading comic books. The 16-year-old's name was Brandon. Brandon was 6'3", weighed about 270 pounds, and pronounced his name Brandon. The oldest son was fond of saying to people, including my customers, that he had just met, "Hi, I'm a conservative. Are you a liberal or a conservative?" That was the extent of his discussion. Once he had an answer and could pigeonhole the person with a label, he would walk away with a smile. One night after a few weeks, as she was picking up her sons, the mother asked me if I was churched. I explained to her that I have a strict policy of not discussing religion or politics with customers, that I felt it was bad for business. She glared at me, turned her back, and angrily stalked out. Neither she nor her sons ever came back. This finishes another installment in my series,
Weird Tales from the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy.
Anyway, that's what I think, but I could be wrong. Let me know what you think at my website, rpmartialarts.com. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain.
The Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. Contact me with questions about the Martial Brain or the Rising Phoenix Academy at our website, rpmartialarts.com.